This is episode 396, dated Monday, June 23rd, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Good to be here today with all of you. This is episode 396, dated Monday, June 23rd, 2025. Before we continue, let me introduce the panel members that we have at the moment. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena. It's 75, partly cloudy. It's a beautiful day. We have all the windows open and getting ready for the ACB convention beginning tonight and going on for the next basically 2 weeks. But everything's good here.
We are in the middle of a dangerous heat wave here in New England. And as a matter of fact, I think 150 million people in this country pretty much are experiencing the same heat. Temperatures may hit 95 plus tomorrow with feel like temperatures over the century mark. Reverend Michael Garrett.
And welcome from a 90 degree potentially stormy Missouri City, Texas, where it's partly cloudy. I thought I heard some thunder rumbling, but we're scheduled to get rain all week. Between the showers, it's going to be in the 90s. So, we're used to the heat and humidity.
Yes. Don Wardlow.
Yeah, we've also got triple digits. It actually did reach triple digits in Hightstown, New Jersey, a couple hours ago.
All right. So, before we continue, I just want to say a few things. Peter Altschul and Luther King are expected when they arrive. I'm sure they will let us know. So, let me thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be aired. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you for editing our show. Our media outlets, thank you for airing us. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions. Thank you for archiving our programs on my website. For those of you who want to see the archived programs, go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down till you get the Sports Roundtable podcasts. Click on them. And you will see most of our archive programs from latest to earliest. And yes, merci, Jackie. I want to say hi to Trish, our facilitator. And I also want to say hi to Brad, our streamer. And because we're being streamed, allow me to give out my email address for those people who would like to write us some letters. We always allow and want input from our fans so that we know what you're thinking. It's B-O-B. Branco 93@gmail.com. That's Branco 93@gmail.com. Well, this promises to be a very thunderous episode of Sports Roundtable, pun intended. Congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder for winning their very first NBA championship as the Oklahoma City Thunder. Congratulations, and also to SGA for being MVP. Any thoughts on the series and what's going to happen beyond?
I've got lots of thoughts.
Go right ahead, Mike.
As I mentioned before we came on the air, and I want to talk a little bit. Well, first of all, congratulations to Oklahoma City. We thought that they would win. I didn't count on the grit of the Pacers, but that's a good team, too. Very good. But what we thought was that they would be both teams would run, both teams would use their bench and their benches, and so they did. They played a lot of players, and they played those players all year, and those are the kind of teams I like. But the thing that sticks out to me is the physicality of the basketball today. And not only, you know, do they run, you got the young team, both teams are pretty young, but man, they play hard, physical ball, There were more guys on the floor last night, laying on the floor, than there were standing. It seemed like sometimes. So it's interesting to see going forward how this game is going to evolve with all the physicality.
Well, the thing that caught my attention is the Oklahoma City Thunder may have been the recipients of a little karmic justice. That's not to say that Indiana would have won had Halliburton played, and it's, I guess, not the same injury, but a lot of folks think that Indiana won because of the injury to Brunson, and lo and behold, I guess it began in Game 6, but it was Game 7 where Halliburton really was unable to play, but because of that, at least it was a little easier for the Thunder to win. So, you know, what goes around comes around, as they say. But, you know, everybody, all the pundits talk about a sports or a basketball dynasty. Things seem to always happen to keep that dynasty from happening in the NBA for some reason, injury or disgruntled player or who knows what. But, you know, Oklahoma City certainly is poised to be up there and make the finals for a couple, 3 years to come.
They have a lot of upside.
They've got some young players, a young nucleus, and they've got some extensions. We're talking $200-300 million extensions that they've got to address. So it's going to be interesting to see. Now, SGA will probably get his, and Jalen Williams, he's only a rookie, but you know, I'm sure they'll pair up that rookie contract and pay him a little
bit more.
There's
got to be listeners like me who don't know what SGA is. Could you tell me what?
Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yep.
And by the way, Mike, there are two Jalen Williams on that team. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
And one very bad thing, I'm surprised we haven't mentioned it, is the catastrophic injury to Halliburton. If he wiped out his Achilles tendon, that's a whole year recovery. So Indiana's going to have to figure out how to play a whole year, like, without Halliburton, the way USC is going to have a whole year without JuJu Watkins, because
and the Celtics without Tatum for a year.
Tatum, not Brunson. I misspoke earlier.
Oh, I forgot about him, but JuJu got hurt in the regionals, and that's a year. And I know one of my nieces did that, and it's at least a year. And that's if they fix it properly, which in her case, they didn't. She needed, like, 5 operations to get it right. But, you know, an athlete, I guess, would get better, you know, treatment, hopefully. But still, it's a year she'll be gone, and it'll be almost a year if that injury is as bad as it sounded. I got about a dozen alerts on my phone, and every one seemed more, you know, damaging than the last about the injury to Halliburton.
Well, he to me, like Kevin Durant, he should not have tried to play on that calf. I do believe it's the same from the same injury. Mitch mentioned that in Game 6, he initially had an injury with the calf.
Yep.
But he tried to play on it, and he tried to play full speed. And that, I think, you know, contributed to the Achilles injury. I don't know if he tore it or what. Hopefully he didn't tear it. Then maybe it'll heal quicker than a whole year, Don, but that's about right.
I hope so. I'm not wishing that on him, but geez, it could be that bad, though, is what is a concern.
Yeah, there's an old line about sometimes you have to protect the player from themselves.
Yeah.
With that in mind, do you think the Pacers are going to be right there again next year, or do you think this was their window?
Probably was their window. I can't see.
I don't agree. Nobody expected them to be where they ended up this year. They're scrappy. Rick Carlisle is apparently a pretty good coach.
One of the reasons why they were there, Mitch, is because of the Celtics and the Knicks' demises.
That's true. But with all the uncertainty around the Celtics roster, you can't count the Pacers out next year.
But I like the style of ball that they play. They and Oklahoma City play. They're young. They're fast. They're quick. They play good defense, and I think you know, Oklahoma City and Indiana will be at or near the top next year.
Now,
they play a lot of players.
Prior to the show, you expressed concerns about today's basketball, Michael, so I'll give you the opportunity now to rant about that, if you'd like.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier about the physicality, how physical they play, and you know, I laugh about it. My workout guys, you know, when we're talking at the gym, you know, one guy referees. And he's saying, if I was a coach, that's the way I would play. I've got so many fouls to give, and I would designate a couple of guys to be my
suicide squad.
Draymond Green.
So you think there's more contact in today's basketball than there was back in the day, for the most part? I don't mean all the time.
Yeah, I think more. There is more contact. I think the foul last night was a good example. They were doing hard fouls. I mean, fouls. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some play acting in basketball. You can just touch a guy and he's going to fall to the floor, you know, and try to get the refs to call it. But there were some really hard fouls last night. And I know they were trying to win. Both teams were really going at it, but we're seeing more of that, I think, than we should. And I don't know if it makes it hard for the officials to officiate the game, but we're just seeing more of it. So it's just something to watch.
Michael, I still maintain that it's still nowhere near what we had in the 80s. The 80s was hand-check city, and, you know, if you look at the scoring back during that period of time, with some exceptions like Showtime Lakers and into the 90s, there were more games under 100 than there were over 100. And,
I remember.
And the fouls then, they were hard, they were pretty blatant, and the NBA allowed it. I don't think we're near that yet. Now it may get that way, but I also maintain they allow more physical play in the playoffs. The physical fouls during the regular season this year weren't great, weren't big. So I think it's the time of year, and I think that we're still not where things were 30 plus years ago.
And you got to have a good bench these days. Got to have a really deep bench.
So, Peter brought something to my attention. I know he's not here right now, but I think he wants us to touch a little bit on what's going on with the WNBA at the moment. I guess there's some interesting issues. If somebody wants to elaborate further, that would be welcome right now.
There's a lot of dirty play going on surrounding Caitlin Clark. And why it has to be her, you know, I don't know. Why not Brittany Griner? Why not somebody give her an elbow right to the kisser? But that's not what's happening. It's Caitlin Clark that's getting it. And I think that's highly unfair. And there's coaches who are, you know, in encouraging that, and even Griner herself did some damage to Caitlin in a recent game when they played each other.
Is it jealousy?
Probably. I would bet on that. And My brother-in-law says that Clark is white and she's straight, and because of that, she's, you know, not popular in the WNBA because the majority of them are neither white nor straight. Says my brother-in-law. I can't, you know, back that up, but
that may have something to do with it. To be quite honest, I don't know why they have taken a personal disliking her, but they really have.
Yeah, they oughtn't to. She's the league's meal ticket.
I wonder if it has something to do with how much publicity she got when she came into the league.
Right.
And some of the players, I forget the one that seems to have it in for her. I can't remember her name. But I'm
Angel
wondering,
Reese.
I'm wondering if a couple of the black players think that because she's white, she's getting the level of attention that she's getting, and so there is an element of jealousy based both on the fact that they think they should have gotten that kind of attention, plus, you know, what she had coming out of college.
Well, in comparison, you had the NBA back in the 80s, for example. Larry Bird is a white player, was a white player. He was a superstar. Nobody abused him like that. I mean, it was acceptable. It doesn't matter what color you are or what race or what creed. You're either a star or you're not a star, and you play like one, and people react to you like they should. Not violently.
We live in different times.
Apparently.
Live in different times.
Yeah,
and some of the players think that they think, why is she getting all of this publicity when I'm just as good?
She's good.
Well, they think that they are as good or better.
Yep.
And my thing is, show it on the court. You know, she's a good player. Stop her on the court legally, of course.
I'm
just talking about because the women's game is pretty physical too.
Doubt. And you had Brittany Griner as a collegiate broke somebody's nose from Texas A&M. You know, you can't have that going on. And it hasn't gotten that extreme yet, but it's not good as of, you know, what I've been hearing about it.
Hey, I've got a question for WNBA followers, which I'm not. Has Brittany Griner's game changed or her skills eroded any with the year she spent in a Russian jail?
I honestly don't know.
Don't.
I had hoped the games would be on Sirius XM. They are not. So I don't have the way to follow them that
anybody.
I would like.
Yeah. She had a tough year there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're going to, you know, carry in the drugs, you know, you might as you've got to figure, you know, something's going to happen one day. You're going to get caught.
But I was just curious as to whether she's back at the level she was before this happened.
You know, I haven't heard anybody say, especially when I try to look at the stats and things like that, I haven't seen her in the top echelon of stats.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know whether her skills have declined or what.
Yeah.
No. Well, we have a new Stanley Cup champion. Well, actually, he's not so new. The second in a row, Florida Panthers.
I told you guys.
Congratulations.
I told you. Panthers were going to win.
And the Edmonton general manager basically hinted not so subtly that there will be some changes. The first change he has to make is get a goaltender who can actually stop some shots.
Well, they're available, I guess, for the right price. That's all I can say about that.
Well, you know, every time somebody wins and they win sort of convincingly, they start talking about dynasty. The question is, are the Panthers going to lose some people, or are they going to add to their people? Or you have any clue on that, Bob? Because
Brad Marchand, who the Bruins traded back in March, came back to bite them, same way that our former coach, Bruins former coach Bruce Cassidy, was let go and won a Stanley Cup for Vegas. Seems like the Bruins are cursed in that way, where they give up people and those people come back to bite them by winning championships.
Hey, Bob, it's not just the Bruins. It's just Boston.
Just Boston. Yeah. Are you thinking about Devers hitting a home run against us?
Well,
I'm
thinking too. Back in the '60s, the Kansas City Athletics were jokingly, tongue only partly in cheek, the Kansas City A's were referred to as the New York Yankees farm team because of so many players going from Kansas City to the Yankees. Now you got it in a couple, three sports in Boston, trading away good players or letting them walk as free agents. You got two or three teams that are becoming farm clubs of other major league sports franchises.
Hmm. And as far as Devers goes, I know it's been a national story that they've really beaten this subject to death. It seems every day we're talking about, even on a national level. But now I'm hearing that he's willing to play first base for the Giants. That tells me that he wasn't getting along with the front office. I could be wrong, but why wouldn't he agree to play first base for the Red Sox when he's agreeing to play first base for the Giants?
Yeah, late last week during, I forget what show I was listening to, but apparently someone, maybe it was Buster Posey, asked Devers, would he play first base for the Giants? And he said, sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I love it.
Well, I just feel that this trade, from the more I'm hearing about what happened in that clubhouse with him, and then, of course, I don't think he likes Greg Breslow very much, our general manager. That's another thing. In fact, I think he dropped an F-bomb against him one day. That didn't help any. So looking back, as shocked as I was that this trade happened on Sunday evening, June 15th, Father's Day, I'm starting to look back on it, and I'm saying maybe it was inevitable.
So, yeah, like the Ramirez trade and like the Carl Crawford trade, you know, you got these malcontents in Boston who, you know, don't like the setup there and want to be someplace else. And Boston is one of the few teams that's willing to oblige them and get them out of town, even though they may, you know, pay for it later on.
So, Bob, do the Red Sox have a lot of injuries now?
Oh, yeah. They've got loads of injuries. They have a whole bunch of pitchers on the IL right now. Tanner Houck, the newly acquired Jordan Hicks from the Giants, Dustin Slayton, Liam Hendricks, Tucker Crawford. They just got Richard Fitz back. They have tons of pitching injuries. And, of course, they have two key injuries to their regular players. Masataka Yoshida is still out, and Alex Bregman is still out.
But then again,
you look around baseball, and this is the norm. And I wish Major League Baseball would. I know it's political. Owners could fire the commissioner if the commissioner tried to stop them from allowing all of this science to take over the game, making pitchers pitch the way they don't want to pitch, resulting in injury and Tommy John. I don't know where the happy medium is here, or I would hope that baseball stops this practice.
Probably not going to be one.
Hi, Luther.
I guess.
Yankees
just lost one of the few good starting pitchers they had, Ryan Yarbrough, and they were originally saying it was a broken rib. Now they're saying like a strained oblique. I don't know what's worse, because I know what a broken rib would be. I don't know what an oblique is.
And Hunter Dobbins is also on the IL for the Red Sox as well.
And I think
muscle is in your rib area, and I forget which Dodger it was last year. If you strain an oblique seriously enough, you're gone longer than if you just broke a rib. You may be gone 6 weeks to 2 months.
That's not good. We need Yarbrough back.
Well, Max Fried has done pretty well for you guys, except as of late. I mean, he was like, what, 7-0, 7-1?
Yeah,
he had the most wins in baseball for a while.
I think he's probably going to be. I'm thinking the Braves are regretting not trying to re-sign him. I mean, I know he's a free agent, but it's like, whoa.
And now, did I hear Chris Sale got injured again?
I don't know.
Yes.
I know you had asked me about Chase Lauder. What was it?
Rhett Lauder for the Reds.
Yeah, Rhett Lauder for the Red. And I don't know, you know, I haven't seen anything on him.
Yeah, there was a news story. I don't know how serious it is. I forgot what I heard, but
I know
he did get hurt.
Talking about Sale?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I know the Reds are calling up Chase Burns for tomorrow's start at the Bronx tomorrow. Their number two pick in, you know, last year or the year before the draft.
Actually, that's at Coors East. That's at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So Burns.
Welcome to the welcome to the launching pad.
Burns is going to face Aaron Judge and
Goldschmidt and
Giancarlo
boys.
Stanton.
If Giancarlo isn't hurt again.
Giancarlo's back, Don?
He's supposed to be. That's what I had heard.
Yeah. I thought I heard something over the weekend. He was supposed to be back, but knowing him the way
we missed him, both series we missed him.
Oh, Red Sox. Yeah. The Yankees missed him more.
Yeah.
So
I think there are going to be a lot of teams that are still in contention, either looking for bats or arms. I think when we get to the July 31st trade deadline, I think depending on how many teams are still going to be left in the race.
Conceivably, there are four teams now in the American League East that as the season ended today, I think they're all in the playoffs.
You mean the Rays, Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays?
Yep.
Wow. All four
now,
Bob, that will not happen because I think by the time we get to the All-Star break, I think we're going to start seeing a lot of these teams just beat up on each other.
Well, look at what's happening in Kansas City.
Yeah, I thought
Kansas City was going to be a playoff team earlier in the season. They're slipping.
They're kind of reverting back to their old ways again.
They're under 500. The Dodgers started a stretch over the weekend playing a bunch of under 500 teams, and we barely beat the Nationals 2 out of 3, and now we got Colorado and Kansas City
You're going to have a good time with that.
The Cardinals are playing 15 games in 14 days. They just got done playing a doubleheader last week at the south side of Chicago, and they just beat the Reds 2 out of 3, and now they get the Cubs the first time in 2025 for 4 starting tonight.
There's a guy I'm actually was pretty impressed with the Nationals. They don't have much pitching.
Yeah,
but they've got a young outfielder named James Wood.
Oh yeah, I heard about.
And
I know you're talking about.
Saturday night he hit one against us 451 feet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got some pop now. James Wood.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some pop. Cause I think
he won a game. They had only two home runs, bringing in 4 runs, and they were both hit by James Wood. Very high drafty. He was a first or a second rounder only a couple years back.
I'm trying to think what college he came out of because I remember hearing his name.
He might have been a high school guy.
He may have been because I thought he went to college.
He pitched in A ball for the Wilmington Blue Rocks, and they broadcast on the radio station where I learned my trade. So every now and then I listen to them, and James, especially I did when he played for them. But if you're coming out of SEC, you're not going to get sent to Wilmington Blue Rocks.
The Reds draft, you may go to the Dayton Dragons and then go up to Louisville. You may skip AA and go to Louisville.
The surprise in baseball right now, there's no doubt about this. The biggest surprise in Major League Baseball right now is Cal Raleigh.
The way he's
31
been
home runs.
31 home runs with the Mariners. He's on pace for 60 plus.
Well, yep. he might add, if he stays on the pace he's at, he'll either get close to or actually break the American League home run record. I don't know.
And the best thing is when they have Rick Riz calling him.
Rick Riz and Aaron Goldschmidt.
He's a 40-year guy. He's a former Ford Frick Award winner. You know, he's in Cooperstown. And to hear Rick Riz call a Cal Raleigh home run is about as good as it gets in Major League Baseball today without Scully, you know, Howie Rose doing less and less games.
And
Rick Riz is about as good as they get.
And remember Rick Riz worked with the late Dave Niehaus on radio
and
TV.
That's where he learned his trade. Yep.
One of the things that I found pretty refreshing this weekend, they pulled a switcheroo in the broadcast booths between the Red Sox and Giants. They had John Miller come in to the Red Sox booth.
You know what?
I remember John Miller when he was an announcer for the Red Sox 40-plus years ago.
He worked with the late Chuck Thompson with the Orioles. I think
his voice is still pretty much the same. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Look, let me put it this way. It's almost amusing. Because I remember, what was it, last weekend when it was Yankees-Red Sox, last Saturday night. They had your TV broadcaster, Dave O'Brien, do the ESPN radio broadcast with Doug Linville. And I'm like, Dave O'Brien is so much better on radio.
The thing I will always remember about John Miller, and I'm sure that you can find it somewhere, John Miller could do a dead-on imitation of Vin Scully calling a game.
Let me put it this way. You don't have to look far on YouTube to find John Miller with Vin Scully.
It is
a night and day side by side, but.
Oh yeah.
I remember what was it? John Miller was talking in Vin Scully's voice when he was doing a Giants game, and I'm like, okay, is this John Miller or is this Vin Scully?
When he got into it, he could not only do Vin Scully, he could do Bob Shepard, the play by the public address for the Yankees.
And the former Red Sox PA guy.
Feller, yes. He could do Bob Casey, the Twins public address guy. He called the angry PA. That's what he sounded like, really.
Remember when the late Bob Casey did their no smoking in the Metrodome when they were in the Homer Hanky Dome?
And you know, I met him, and I actually told him, I probably shouldn't have, that John Miller – you know, referred to him as the angry PA, and Casey said, well, John Miller can take a flying leap at a rolling donut.
it's not an imitation, but the guy who does some of the Dodgers games, Steven Nelson, begins his broadcasts the same way Lee Hacksaw Hamilton began his. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. And that's how Nelson starts his Dodger.
The only thing he was missing was the hi everybody and a very pleasant whatever day to you wherever you may be.
Yes.
That's the only thing he was missing.
Hacksaw Hamilton, so I didn't know that. That's
now I think yep. Hacks I think if I'm right, Hacksaw did the Chargers in the '80s before Ted Leitner took over.
He did the Chargers, and he was pretty good at it.
And then Ted Leitner took it over.
Yeah, Hacksaw does a podcast down in San Diego. I still look at his sports headlines Monday through Friday. So he's still around. He's pushing 80, and he still has his one man's opinion and all that. Just find him on the internet.
Well, when you've done it for as long as he has, and you can still do it, and you still love what you do, why stop?
Yep. How old's John Miller?
He's same age as my brother, born in 1952, so he'd be
73.
Yeah,
yeah.
Normally when John Miller's when he's not doing the actual when he doesn't travel as much as he did. I think you have FP Santangelo and Joe Rizzo when Dave Fleming doesn't travel. Because I know sometimes Dave Fleming doesn't travel with a team either.
And FP played in the very first game I ever called as a professional broadcaster, and we asked him, what's the FP for? He said, Frank Paul.
Frank Paul, wow.
And we never would have imagined he would ever, you know, broadcast the game years later.
And the guy you and I were talking about, you know, in text, Stu Paul, a while back, worked with the legendary, his last name was Acuff, I think. No, not the country singer, but he was the longtime voice of the San Antonio Missions. I think now Stu Paul's doing those games as the number one
FP San Angelo was involved in the worst trade the Dodgers ever made when they traded Mike Piazza.
Oh.
And ended up, we got three or four guys, including San Angelo, and I think Jim Eisenreich was part of that trade.
And every year, I think the Mets still had to pay him like a certain amount of cash on a certain day or whatever.
And Piazza was one of my favorites. I was so angry at the Dodgers when they traded him.
And then he was a longtime Mets catcher.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, talking about John Miller, there is not much of it, but there is some very early John Miller from when he was with the Texas Rangers, even before he joined the Boston Red Sox. I do not think there's any John Miller with the Athletics, which was his first year, 1974.
I can probably try to see if there is still some up there, but maybe not.
But I know good and well there's some Rangers John and Miller, he worked with the late
Bill Mercer, or the other guy that Eric Nadell told us about when he was on the show that he worked with.
Eisenhower.
Yeah. Let me see if there are any hands raised. We want to bring our participants in if we can. So let me ask Trish if anybody has got the hand raised.
I do not see any hands at this time.
All right. Just let us know when that happens. Feel free to interrupt our conversation.
Absolutely.
And another guy, well, speaking of the finals, I know you guys got into this last night. Keske was talking about that the Thunder have three guys that could be in line for supermaxes coming up.
Yeah.
And Gilgeous Alexander was
SGA
one.
Was
Jalen
one.
Williams would be another.
And right? I think Holmgren could be the third.
Holmgren, okay.
I think that was a third name that I heard, but I know the Thunder have at least two or three that are in line for supermaxes, plus all that draft capital they got.
What do you think of Durant going to the Rockets?
That kind of didn't shock me, because I mean, the Rockets are trying to, you know, figure out a way to get out of the first round, but I don't think a lot of teams are going to take on that contract, to be honest with you.
Now, who was he with before that traded him?
Phoenix.
He was with the Suns.
Because I thought he was still with the Thunder, and I'm like,
why would the Thunder trade him in the middle of the playoffs? No, it was the Thunder, then he went to the Warriors and won a couple of championships there.
Okay.
And then he went to the Nets, I think, and then the Phoenix, my three sons.
He's like the Oakland A's. He's a vagabond.
Yeah, he's the, thank you.
But the question about Kevin Durant.
Mike, were you going to say something
Hold that thought, Mitch. The difference is in this deal, when he left the Warriors, he went to the Warriors.
Yep.
They were trying to do the super.
And they did.
He went to the Nets to try to do the same thing.
But the problem was they had Kyrie Irving. And we knew.
They thought that could be the Super Three.
The next and Super then, Team.
And then I think Phoenix kind of wanted, they were trying to match him with Booker.
And that didn't work either.
But this deal is not, this is not a super, cause you know, the Rockets don't have any.
No, they don't. I think they traded who? Trent, didn't they?
Dylan Brooks.
They've traded Brooks, and I think they traded.
Brooks took Jalen Green.
And five draft picks.
Green is gone. Jalen Green. Where did Jalen Green go?
I think he went in that deal with the Suns. Part of that trade. Yeah.
But this was a trade. But apparently, from what I'm hearing, there were other teams out there, and nobody wanted to take.
Here's the thing, Mike. They weren't going to take on Kevin Durant's big, humongous salary. They weren't going to take on that contract. So it was either going to be the Rockets or it was going to be nobody, because the Rockets were desperate. They were because they had enough assets to make the deal actually happen.
But you know, when somebody gets traded so many times, you begin to wonder and I know he does not want to be a leader. He is not interested in taking a leadership role. But when a guy kind of gets unhappy in you know, consecutive teams with three or four different teams, you begin to wonder, is he going to be a problem in the locker room for Houston during the season?
Look at Jimmy Butler. Look at when he got unhappy with the Heat. Then he went to now he's at Golden State. How long before that mild content streak comes out on with him at Golden State?
Yeah, keep an eye on that, Michael. Follow.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely.
You'll see what
that was my thing, because I really didn't want my son-in-law hit me with it last Sunday. We started talking about it.
I didn't really want the trade.
I didn't really want it because I don't think he's a part of me because he went to UT. Okay. He's a one and done.
Well, here's the thing. He was on that team.
Hold on a second. But I didn't really want the trade.
No.
But the media here, and I agree, think that we can get 2 to 3 years out of the guy.
But after
his 2 to 3 years, our team, the big pieces of our team will still be young. The oldest guy would be 27.
I'm surprised because they were talking about Sengun being in that deal. Remember?
He's got a lot of upside, though. If you can get rid of guys with upside, what's the point of getting Durant at the end of his career?
There was like a lot of national talking heads saying, if he goes to the Rockets, is Sengun going to be a part of that deal? Because I know they were like pointing at him being a part of that trade for the Suns. But now here's my other question. Now that you got rid of Kevin Durant, what are you going to do with Bradley Beal? Because the Suns still have a big, humongous albatross around their neck that they still have to figure out a way to get rid of. And a guy that can't stay healthy. And how quickly can Devin Booker adapt and adjust to any of the other guys that they have?
Mitch, a couple minutes ago, you wanted to say something. I'll let you have the floor. Go ahead. Oh, okay. Mitch, you there?
Sorry about that. I get very suspicious about players who always seem to be unhappy with whatever team they get sent to.
Mm-hmm.
We could all name off on two hands just a list of guys like that. And I wish Houston luck with Durant. I really do.
I think the biggest thing is going to be how quickly does he, transition into the system that the Rockets are trying to run with Sengun and a few other guys that they have.
Van Fleet, is he still there?
No, I think he was a part of that trade too.
Wow.
It was Green. Who else was it?
Green and Brooks.
Green, Brooks, and five draft. I thought a point guard got thrown in there somewhere.
I thought there was a third player, but
I thought there was too.
I thought there was a third player, or it could
be the ever popular player to be named later.
I haven't heard that part.
I mean,
they get the tenth draft choice this year.
Yep.
And 5 second round draft choice. But
I didn't realize the back end
of that is that somehow they swapped draft choices in a couple of those years.
Phoenix is getting their original number 10.
Back.
That they had a couple of years ago and then traded back.
Yep.
But I still think, given the weakness of the draft this year, just getting two players,
and a whole gob of draft picks.
I mean, who cares about about second round draft picks for Pete's sake. I think I mean, Phoenix, you can,
Mitch,
Phoenix
how,
got robbed.
Mitch, how, look, check this out. How many of those second round picks are actually going to pan out? Because after you get past the Mavericks getting Cooper Flagg, who else is available? Because I mean, after that, everybody else is a crapshoot.
Everybody else is a crapshoot this year.
After
draft
Cooper
is Wednesday,
Flagg,
isn't it? Is the draft Wednesday?
Yes, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday.
And ESPN Radio will have both nights covered. By the way,
and I don't listen to the draft. Certainly not as a Lakers fan, because they won't have a draft pick for 10 years.
Yeah, you'll be stuck with Luka and maybe a disgruntled LeBron if he decides to stay.
Well, they're gonna get a center Carolina deal is back on again, I guess, but they're gonna have to dig in the bushes to get some players.
And the Lakers just got sold to one of the Dodger folks for like $10 million.
Mark Walter, part of the Guggenheim group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jeannie is still going to be on the board.
Yeah, she's still. I think she's like one of the main governors on the board.
Yeah. So
they have
access to plenty of money. So
yeah. Now,
are they going to do like the Dodgers?
No, they can't because there
can't.
Is a salary,
a salary
in basketball.
Cap in basketball. They can't.
What I have heard, and where the Lakers were chintzy, is that they are in a position to expand, close your ears, Bob, their analytics department and their scouting department.
Oh, no. Not that again.
Oh, yeah.
Say it ain't so.
I told Bob to close his ears.
Yeah, I should have done that, Mitch, but yeah, I wanted to listen to you anyway.
I warned him. Hey,
we gave
you forewarning.
That's all right.
But Mike, what I was gonna say though, when you were mentioning the Texas team that knocked out Kevin, a guy with an interesting name of West Virginia, when Kevin Pitsnoggle, who kind of, yeah, that's right, a guy with the last name of Pitsnoggle, in the weird names of why do I still remember this? Because he was the guy that hit the shot that West Virginia thought was going to get them the next round before Kevin Durant hit the game-winning shot off of after Abrams got it to him on a pass. And that was a pretty doggone good NCAA tournament game. When KD and Pitsnoggle, the battle of Kevins on game-winning shots with WVU and Texas. And then all of a sudden, I think Texas got taken out the next round, didn't they?
I forgot who they lost to in the round of
32.
That was a long time ago.
I think that was like 2008 or something like that. But that team was pretty loaded under Rick Barnes though. I think if they would have had a favorable draw, they could have made the Final Four that year.
Well, I was hoping he was going to come back and stay another year, but
I thought he was too.
We had another one and done in the playoffs last night. Miles Turner.
Yeah, and he really struggled last night, though. He struggled in the finals, especially from three-point range.
He's an integral part of that team.
Of the Pacers, yeah.
They use his defense is very important to them.
But here's a question, though. How many of those guys from the Pacers are actually going to still be around? Well, you know, because I know Halliburton's going to be back, but after that, though, and we know Nimhart's going to be back, but how
Lee
many
Smith,
of those? Are yeah.
Lee Smith found the home there.
Lee Smith, yeah. But
Halliburton is not going to be back very soon. I mean, he's going to be with the team.
He's out for a while.
He's
out for a minute.
Yeah.
But how many of those veteran guys are going to be back? How many of those, quote, veteran guys that made the run are going to be back under Coach Carlisle next year, moving forward?
From what I heard, they seem to like what they were doing, and unless they get a better offer, money-wise,
key word
right
there.
We'll be back.
Yep, key word
I think
right
a lot
there.
Of them will be back.
Yeah. There's a possibility.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are we going to, or is there a chance it's Thunder Pacers again next year? I don't know. I mean, the way the playoffs worked out this year.
Well, injury played a major role in what happened in the playoffs this year. Yeah, some people are blaming Tatum's injury on the Celtics' demise. I still say that's not the only reason. It was all
that wasn't the only problem.
No, but Brunson with the Knicks, maybe. Cleveland had their problems, and Cleveland was one of the favorites. Look what happened.
Yeah, Cleveland. Yeah, and then they ran into the Pacers, and once the Pacers stole that first game, you just felt the air just go right out of Cleveland because they really didn't have much left.
And didn't one of the Florida teams make a good deal here recently?
Orlando.
Yes,
Orlando.
With Memphis. They picked up Pacers.
They did.
Yeah, and I've heard a couple, and I don't remember the player they got, but a couple of the sports talk folks are saying don't discount Orlando. They may be next year's Indiana.
Here's the thing. When you have Paolo Banchero, and now that you add
Bogdan brothers.
Mo and his brother, and then now that you add Desmond Bane to that, I wouldn't be shocked. Because they need some 3-point shooting for the Magic.
So the East is going to be very competitive again.
And here's the thing, the Celtics aren't going to be able to run away and hide. The Bucks could be on the downturn, but if they can get right, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Bucks back in the finals either.
Well, but
I don't know.
Is Giannis going to be there?
I heard. Well, I was very surprised to hear that there was speculation all of the talk that Giannis may stay in Milwaukee.
Because a few weeks ago he was tradable.
Yeah. But I mean, they would have to literally get almost a haul with picks and players to lure Giannis away. I mean, I think that's what it would have come down to, because they would have had to have got, it would have come down to some cash considerations and everything else.
Look for a team with a lot of first round draft picks and a need for a big man in the middle.
Speaking of free agency and trades, with the Edmonton Oilers now losing back-to-back Stanley Cup finals
to the same team,
I think they're going to be in the market for a goaltender.
We were talking about that before you arrived.
I don't think Stuart Skinner or Calvin Pickering are the answer for the Oilers. I think they're going to have to go out and actually spend some cash for a big time goaltender.
Their GM announced that there would be some changes this
offseason.
So,
well, they got Draisaitl and McDavid for a while.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have to find a way to get those players and build around them.
They might be extending Trent Frederick 8 years. Another former Bruin.
Wow.
I'm hearing that.
I was hoping to see the Dallas Stars do something, but they seem to be
having some
front office problems.
I was going to ask you, have they filled their coaching spot since they sent Peter DeBoer on an iceberg down to Siberia?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
I haven't either. That's why I was seeing if you had heard anything.
Yeah. They still seem to have some other front office problems. Their marriage with the Mavericks seems to be breaking up, and both teams want.
Well, I'm kind of not surprised because
the marriage with the Mavericks. What's the connection between the Mavericks and Stars? As far as
they usually try to go in step. You know, they're playing in the same arena.
Yep.
Mavericks want their own arena in a different place.
Didn't they want
a bigger, more lavish?
Say they were going to try to put Dallas like in the somewhere downtown in the Fort Worth Metroplex or something? Or they're trying to get some property or something?
Well, the Dallas officials, the people in Dallas, say that there are lots of places where they could build a new arena.
And is there a particular
even without
one?
The Stars, even that's in Dallas, but there are some suburbs
right
around Dallas that say, "Well, if you guys can't find a place in the city, come on out here.
Come on down here."
Michael, that raises a question. Then, is the Texas Rangers front office the most normal front office in Dallas?
I think so. I think so.
You must be including the Cowboys in that, Mitch, right?
Hold on.
Of course.
Hold on, Bob. Wait. Are we talking about the same Cowboys, Jerry Jones, who's kind of like the Cincinnati Bengals owner, who's cheap and ain't going to pay his players until like the last second unless he actually positively has to? You mean that guy?
Yeah. No, I think you got a point there, Mitch.
The sports talk guys there must have lots to talk about.
Hold on. Mitch, they got a whole, look, besides us for an hour, they got a whole lot of blue beating in a 3 and 4 hour time slot. So they got they got enough to get into.
Well, we'll see what happens with, the NBA draft. Cooper Flagg will, pick number one.
Guys, keep an ear on a couple of things that Don and I got into baseball-wise last Friday.
Yes, go ahead, Luke.
With the Rays, they are talking to business development owner in Jacksonville for first exclusivity draft right for building them a new stadium. They're gonna try to talk to them in the MLB Natural Stars group. A story that dropped here on Thursday or Friday is requesting to buy the property at a defunct state prison to build a ballpark on. So just keep your ears on that.
You know, I said this to I forget the name of the gentleman. You had a caller a couple of weeks ago from Florida.
Yeah.
And to me, Miami and Tampa, neither of those teams draw well.
No, they don't.
You really wonder, you know, it apparently was a good idea at the time to say, oh, Florida can handle two major league teams. But, you know, if there were other cities aside from Memphis, I think it's Memphis that's lobbying for a major league franchise.
Yeah, Memphis almost had the NFL with the Oilers coming to town in 97.
The question is, really, can Miami and Tampa sustain this? Can any owner go in there and make a buck and put out a decent team?
I think what you're getting at is probably going to come down to, besides when, you know, let's say they get their stadium in Tampa with a Jacksonville business development, right? Can they draw there? Can they actually put a product that the fans are actually going to give two flips about and actually put money down on a Friday night when they have other options in the downtown district to actually go sit and watch a baseball game for 3 hours?
Yep.
Well, it looks like our time is up. We've ended another hour, another sports roundtable. We'll be back next Monday, and we'll see where we're at with everything. And gentlemen, thank you so much. Trish, thank you. Brad, thanks for everything. Hopefully we'll get some calls next week, and hopefully we'll get some letters. I want the fans to start writing us a little more often, so let's see if we can accomplish that. I am Bob Ranko, and go safe with God's abundant blessings. Have a great week, everybody.